Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. MLB, golf, NBA, NHL, all your playoff needs are handled in one place. BetOnline. Latest odds and lines, including the most up-to-date team matchups for all your favorite sports. It's all right there at BetOnline. Sit down and head to the website today to get in on the action or use your mobile device. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I hope you're ready to have your mind blown with the greatest health and fitness information on the planet.
Yes, bitch!
Welcome to the Mikey Likes You podcast, the podcast based in the fact that I am Mikey and you are you who is liked. An amazing system that works very well. If you're looking for greater assistance, more detailed assistance when it comes to health, fitness, body recomposition, I am available. Check out my Patreon. I'll put the link in the profile. And I've had some really, really heartwarming, very meaningful testimonials lately from clients of mine. And it makes me want to do it more. I think that's why I don't want to say I fail. I certainly don't. I don't make as large of an impact in the world of like health and fitness in a digital space because I don't really like doing it from a perspective of here is what I provide you. Let me take your money. I don't like that. It's not, it becomes busy work. I very much enjoyed doing that when I was doing television broadcasting. It was the basis of what I do. It's like, I don't have to like this show. I don't watch this show. I don't care. You're going to pay me how much to show up and talk for a couple hours? Let's go. I'll never be late and I'll show up, but I don't like this, but this is what I do for a living. Fitness means so much more to me than abs and biceps and looking good. It was such a avenue for me to discover myself and then also feel better about myself and open up doors for what I thought was possible. And if I feel like I have that ability to share that with people, I want to do it. And it motivates me greatly. And I found from a couple recent testimonials that that's the case. So like I said, long-winded way of saying I am available and happy to help. Check out my Patreon if you're interested in such things. Thank you first and foremost to Giorgio in the Palace of Giorgio where we currently sit. And I welcome a very special guest. It's very, very rare that I have a guest that I've known literally every day of his or her life. But that is the case today. The guest, my daughter, the most perfect 10-year-old beautiful woman in the world, Magnolia Catherwood. Hello.
Thank you. Yes.
Is that embarrassing when you hear me talk about you like that?
Sometimes.
How so?
It depends on my mood.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny you say that because sometimes I will say things, not even, you know, I'm not prone to describing you as like this perfect princess because I like to embrace the idea that you're a human being who's flawed just like all of us. And so I don't go around telling people like, oh, my daughter's the greatest kid in the world. She's the best. Even though you, to me, you are. Because I recognize like, of course, you're better than other kids because you're my daughter. But when we are in public situations and I'm complimentary about something that you've done, your artwork, your ability to, I've never seen you in really varied groups of children. I've never seen you be condescending or like a bully. And that always makes me very proud. You seem to be a person who gets along with a bunch of different types of people at different age groups, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes I'll talk positively about you and you get really kind of almost upset. You seem very, and then other times you seem kind of comfortable to accept it.
I don't take compliments well.
What do you think that is?
I am a person who very much likes giving compliments. I don't really know how to react when I get them. It's like when you're sitting in a room and everyone's singing happy birthday to you and you have no idea what to do. Like, you don't know if you should smile or, like, sing along. It's just kind of awkward.
That's a good analogy. And you're right. It is weird. But and I can relate. I certainly get very bashful sometimes when people will say certain things. But then alternatively, there's compliments I can receive and I just say, with great confidence, I say, thank you. That means a lot to me. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I feel very comfortable with it. Do you feel that way?
It depends on the size of a compliment. My teacher always tells me, like, I have to give you micro compliments or else you just kind of, like, fade away. Yeah. So
you're right. And actually, your teacher, Ken, who I care for very much.
He's amazing,
a great
person.
He's a great guy. He tells me that all the time. Do you feel like maybe you're not trusting of those compliments? Like, it starts to get to the point where you don't feel...
I mean, like, with most people, most of the compliments are just like, oh, you're nice to my son or something. Or, like, you look nice today. But with teachers, it's mostly like, you're growing up with math and your numbers are not backwards anymore and your reading's good.
Your numbers aren't backwards anymore.
But, and to that... It's kind of like, should I say, like, yes, I'm proud of myself, or, like, thank you, but it's not their fault or something. It's kind of like choosing the words right.
Okay. That makes sense. We were talking about something on the way over here, and not to make a dramatic transition into something a little darker, but... We were talking about, because we stopped and there was a homeless man at the stoplight and I gave him a couple bucks and I said that I'm always reluctant to do it because I know because I dealt with it firsthand. I know that he's going to go take that money and buy drugs. And he's not, if I saw someone who was hungry and needed, if I was working at a homeless shelter or something of that nature, it's a completely different thing because Papa knows as a drug addict that, like, I could see it in his eyes. I could see his missing teeth. Like, he's going to go buy drugs with this money.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, a 10-year-old is probably not the prime demographic to be talking about addiction with, you know, openly. But I've always looked at it like I'd never want to romanticize it. I never want to aggrandize it, make it look cooler. But I always looked at it like how your father, me, unfortunately has a really bad potty mouth. And I will say the F word and the S word around you and everything.
You're working on it.
I am working. I genuinely am. When I'm around kids, I'm like very guarded, even more so than I was on the radio where I never had a problem. But in my personal life, I have a potty mouth. And that's not appropriate at certain times. But instead of me stopping saying those words and then telling you, you can never, if I ever hear you saying those words, you're going to be punished. I always correct myself and I go like, ooh, that's bad. I shouldn't use those words. And subsequently, you don't cuss. You never cuss. And when I cuss, you correct me. You're the one going, Papa. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, I get it. And so I look at drugs and alcohol the same way, that just because they have been devastating to me and I deal with it still. And you've never seen me have one drink or use any type of drug because you're only 10. I've been clean 23 years. I always felt like it would be better if I was more open on it. Like I said, without romanticizing it, without making it sound cool, but being open about just how treacherous and dangerous and horrible they are. And how, if it wasn't for the fact that I had immense luck in life, two parents that stayed together from an affluent neighborhood, you know, grandma and grandpa, like I would have been just like that poor guy on the street. Like there's very good chances that I would have been that. And so I've always been kind of open in that way. And I would like to know, in your opinion, and you could be very honest with me, has that helped you get a better sense of how dangerous and how how negative drugs and alcohol can be, or has that made you annoyed and not even want to hear about it?
I mean, I think it's definitely helped a lot. I feel like with most kids, like, their parents are so afraid to talk to them about it. Then when they get up, when they get older, and then they're so curious to find out what's this, that they are tempted to do drugs. So
yeah,
I think it's definitely helped me a lot.
All right. No, that's, I appreciate it. And I think you're right. I think that there's a lot of stuff where you're just so curious about it because adults make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
And when they don't talk to you directly about it, then it just makes that curiosity even bigger.
Yeah.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
And I had a friend of mine who was a criminal growing up and spent a lot of time in jail early on in his life. Then he changed his life around and he was in his 30s and he had his first kid. And he always said that he made it a big point to talk to his kids about, like, they'd be watching, you know, cops and robbers movies or like stuff, action movies. And he's like, that's not how it really is. Trust me, I know. You could throw your whole life away. Like, all this stuff, it's not cool. Yeah. And I kind of always felt the same way about drugs and alcohol, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense.
But at the same time, I also understand, like, you're your own person and you're going to grow up and you're going to make your own decisions, like, about tattoos and stuff.
Yeah.
You want to get tattoos, right?
Yes. Just, like, not like you.
Right, like, not all over.
Yeah, like one or two, like mom, but like not like you.
Where would you have them on your body?
Like on my arms and hands and stuff.
Oh, but in like visible places.
Yes.
Okay. Cause
what's the point of having a tattoo if you can't see it?
I kind of feel the same way, but there's a lot of, especially a lot of girls that they're like, I'm going to get a tattoo, but I'm going to get it like right here so no one knows. Only people who are special get to see it.
Yeah. I love your teenage girl voice.
I was thinking about, too, about, like, yummy junk food. And now I kind of have taken a similar approach about that, in that I was never, mom and I both, were never like, you can't ever have donuts and cake and candy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we were always like, yeah, I understand, like, that does take its toll on your body. And and I feel like you've had a pretty reasonable approach to it.
Very reasonable.
Can you explain that?
I mean, like, when I was little, when we still lived in LA, mom, we would go out to, like, Whole Foods or something, and I would get, like, a little bag of candy from one of those things where you can take, like, a scoop and put it in a bag and, like, choose which ones you want.
Yeah.
And she would, I would ask her, like, how much I could have, and she would say, when you think that it's reasonable to stop. Now, most children, their parents are very strict about candy and stuff, so if they had gotten that, if they had been offered that reasoning now, they would probably have eaten the whole bag because they have not been coached through that kind of stuff.
They've never been afforded
but
that luxury.
I remember that one day I sat in my bedroom and I had maybe like a little, like half the bag probably, and I threw it at my neighbor's house over the fence. And then I had to go get it and it was in their front yard. But that's a story for a different day.
Okay.
But
you literally threw it to like Liv's house?
No, I threw it at those old neighbors.
Okay.
Do you remember with the White House?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So I think definitely it depends. Like, I have friends who have parents that are like super strict about that kind of stuff. Yeah. And whenever they come to over to my house, and it has been maybe like previously Halloween, or we went to like somewhere and got candy and I have candy in the house, there are like at 4 a.m. they wake me up and they're like, can I have some of your candy?
That
like,
has happened.
It's always like super splurging on the candy. But I have other friends who have been the same as me when they are, their parents definitely are a lot more mellow with that kind of stuff,
yeah,
but are still like you, health nuts, but, and they're a lot more on the same page as me. So,
right. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good outlook. I mean, that's the outlook mom and I have, your mom and I have always hoped to achieve. But at the same time, hamburgers and french fries and candy and cake is good. It's delicious. Yeah. And I wonder, and by the way, like there's no right or wrong answer. You can be fully honest with me. I wonder how far along you've gotten in recognizing, yeah, this is delicious, but if I eat too much, it doesn't necessarily make me feel very good. And if I eat a lot of this, it does make me feel very good. Like, have you been able to kind of recognize certain things as far as positive health effects?
Yeah. You know how I feel about cake, though? You know I hate cake.
You love, but you love frosting.
I love frosting.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely eating like a T-bone steak is a lot. It makes me feel better than eating, say, gummy french fries.
Gummy french fries probably don't make you feel very good.
I don't know why that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Because those, I mean, it's one of those things, those little, what she's referring to, they're like gummy bears, but they're shaped like fries and they're literally sticks of gummy. And
you've got like sugar coating and like fake gummy ketchup, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, but it's also one of those things. I think it is actually a good reference because, like regular french fries, it's one of those things that's so unbelievably hard not to overeat. You have a couple and you're like, okay, I'll have a couple more. It's very difficult to not overeat those things.
But also you get that feeling when, you know, when you're on a plane, you eat too much candy and then you get that feeling where like water won't reverse it and you're like, and your mouth, your gums are like slowly deteriorating.
the weird mouth feeling. Yeah, no, I definitely have had that before. But in fairness, there's healthy stuff that makes that happen too. Last night, you had a grapefruit and you asked for milk. You asked me for raw milk. You're like, dude, saw that fresh raw milk. Let me get some. But then you started eating a grapefruit and you actually couldn't drink the milk until the grapefruit left your mouth.
Yes.
So I'm just being fair to gummy fries. There's healthy food that'll do that too, you know?
Yeah, but grapefruit's special.
Grapefruit's the best.
It's got a very like kind of taste, you know?
I don't know tick, tick, tick kind of taste. Can you elaborate?
It makes you feel like you've got push pins in your mouth.
That's true. The extreme levels of acids that react to your mouth. But those same acids are one of the main reasons why grapefruit is so legendarily a good food for health and dieting, because it has internal effects on your like your blood sugar and things like that.
So yeah.
It's very, very good. I'm a big fan. Is there ever a time, and it's hard probably at 10 because you're always ready to rock, you know, you were going to fall asleep on the way over here. And I said, are you going to be a good guest? Like, am I going to, but you know, at 10, you can rally and you just have energy. So is it easy or is it difficult sometimes to recognize your energy levels in relationship to food that you eat? Like, do you ever eat certain things and then you feel great and then you crash? And can you see that, or is it something that you don't recognize?
Sometimes I'll have like, we'll be at like a party or something and I'll have a bunch of sugar and then I'll be running around and later that night I'll just like die.
Yeah.
But that sometimes happens with healthy food too. So yes and no.
Okay. That's a fair answer. What in your, when you say sometimes that happens with healthy food as well, can you elaborate on what you think, some examples of what is healthy food in your mind? Sorry.
meat.
Meat, yes.
And salad.
You make
and
a great Texan.
Fruits and veggies. Not so much veggies.
You like some veggies, though. But
I like some veggies, but that doesn't mean they're as healthy as meat.
Oh, God. You, like, there's about 10 carnivore dudes around the world that are going to watch this and be like, bravo, bravo. Mom and I have never imposed on you our views of health. We like to introduce you to things that we can unarguably say are healthy. But then you, at a very young age, had your eyes open to something that I think even most adults don't have their eyes open to, that just because something is a vegetable doesn't inherently make it easy for the human system to digest, easy for your system to assimilate with. So I'm all for. I mean, you had carrots on the way out here. You know, you had
they were grilled carrots with chicken, so that automatically makes it better.
And I agree, but for me, off the top of my head, things like zucchini, carrots, mushrooms. There's plenty of vegetables. Mushrooms is a weird category of its own. My friend Kyle Kingsbury, former UFC fighter. A near perfect male physique and also a great guy. I like Kyle a lot. He said that, and he makes a compelling argument. Mushrooms should be looked at more as an animal than a vegetable because of the way that they be. The fungus behaves much more like an animal than it does a vegetable. So I'll leave that one off. But I think things like certain lettuces you love, right? Certain lettuces.
Yeah, I like butter lettuce and corn on the cob.
Corn on the cob.
And broccoli. I love broccoli.
But cooked broccoli, right? Raw broccoli can...
I like any sort of broccoli.
You like raw broccoli? Yeah. Okay. From a taste standpoint, because raw broccoli is one of those things that I think, like, if you like it, you like it. That's awesome. Most people don't. But I do think raw broccoli is very hard on the human system, as opposed to if you steam it or you cook it for a little bit, it can be a little bit more easy to assimilate.
I have a theory. Mm-hmm. That kids actually love broccoli, but when their parents tell them, like, you gotta eat your broccoli, you gotta eat your vegetables, that makes them not like it. It's like when you go to do the dishes and your mom says, okay, go do the dishes, then that makes you not want to do the dishes.
Right.
It's the same thing with broccoli.
Yeah. That's a very adult observation. And it kind of gets back to what I was talking about with drugs and curse words and things like that. Like, if you make a bigger point about it, it almost makes it more appealing, and vice versa, that you can almost make people assume that something is negative if you're constantly browbeating them to do it. Right? Yeah. What do you think, from a kid's point of view, what should a parent's best course of action be when it comes to trying to get them to eat healthier stuff?
Just like, if you really want your kid to eat broccoli, just say, like, put some broccoli on their, like, plate of whatever you're feeding them that night. And then just say, like, you don't have to eat the broccoli if you don't want to, but it would mean a lot to me if you did. And then just, kind of coach them into it.
Thank you for saying that. I do think that's good advice. What I would say, the one little caveat I would switch is that, if you make it about it would make me feel good, then you're starting to kind of attach your feelings. And I don't know if that's really necessary. What I would say is like, maybe take your advice of, you don't have to eat it, but let me tell you that if you do, it's really good for your body and it'll make you feel good. But you don't have to do anything.
Or you could just like say something that your kid, like if your kid's upset because they want to get taller or something, just say like, you don't have to eat your broccoli, but it does kind of make you grow more or something like
that. It would be healthy for your growth. Okay. That's, it's really good advice. Really good insight. Does it ever, I'll get to the positive stuff after, but does it ever negatively affect you in your opinion? And like I said, I there's no feelings attached here. I want you to be very honest with me. Does it ever negatively impact you and your view of food and health and exercise that I am so kind of neurotic and so into it?
No, not at all. It actually is when people at my school and stuff, it's actually kind of offensive to me when people talk about like my health and stuff, because my whole, my basically a big percentage of my life is your job and stuff, mm-hmm. your fitness and health and stuff like that. So when people say like, why don't you eat as many vegetables? Vegetables are really good for you. Like it'll make you feel better and stuff like that. It actually is very offensive to me. So,
oh, very offensive. Wow. Holy mackerel. Again, I'm going to be shooting down the sponsorships from Paul Saladino and Sean Baker and those guys. That's cool to hear. I hope you understand the real meaning of the word offensive, because offensive means like you actually are hurt internally. You personally find it as an attack. And I don't necessarily think you find
it. Well, not as an attack, just it's...
You may find it bothersome.
Very bothersome.
Okay, you find it bothersome. Okay. Because I think offensive is one of those words that I do think it's been very damaging to society, that people have lost sight of what that means when they be like, I'm so offended by film. Like, I was like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Like, people should be offended if someone says a racial slur or a negative gender slur or something like that. But offended by someone's take on fitness, I'm always like, really? You were offended by that? Yeah. I mean, come on. Grow up a little.
Like, kids at my old school would, like, I would say, they would, like, look at my lunch or something, and they were like, oh, why don't you have any vegetables? And I'm like, well, my parents don't force me to eat vegetables and stuff. And they're like, really? That's so bad for you. Like, it's so unhealthy. You should really eat vegetables.
Yeah. And not to... I don't know how to say this without sounding like a very pompous jerk, but in the back of your mind, are you like, my parents, when kids say, my parents say I should do this, I should do that. Do you ever think, because I know you don't say this, but do you ever think in the back of your head, like, yeah, but look at your parents and look at mine?
Not really.
Really?
Okay. I don't really think that way. Sometimes I'll think like, well, most people, you did the research and stuff, you know, like this is your whole job and everything. But when people, I find it interesting when people say like, this is so, so healthy for you, but they didn't do any research, you know, right. Like they're just saying that it's a bold claim, you know.
It is. It's an absolutely bold claim to say this is positive for the human body when you don't have any kind of
deep understanding. You don't have any proof.
And there's a lot of people, your father is not I'm not a learned man when it comes to nutrition and physiology, biology, chemistry. I didn't even graduate college, let alone go to medical school or something like that, or get a PhD in any of the sciences. But one thing that a lot of people overlook is like really geeky meatheads, like really geeky people who are obsessive about it, have a pretty thorough understanding of what the body wants and what it doesn't. You know?
Yeah.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Your body kind of tells you almost. It's like, if I want to go in the fridge and grab a vegetable, I want to go in the fridge and grab a vegetable, right. You know? If I want a glass of milk, I want a glass of milk. But, like, sometimes you're sitting at the table or something, or you're drawing a picture or something, and you can hear, almost, like, hear something inside of you saying, like, this sounds good right now. It's like almost like a craving kind of,
yeah.
But stronger. Like the other day, I was insanely craving grapes. And grapes, especially, but mostly food, kind of has a way of finding itself to you.
Yes.
I was having an insane craving of grapes, and you picked me up, and you're like, I went on a spree of buying insane grapes. So
I have been on a kick lately of finding the different forms of grapes.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you're insanely, your body kind of tells you what it needs, and then I think that food will find itself to you. So, like, if anybody's listening to this and is craving salad, go look in your fridge. There might be a mysterious box of salad in your fridge.
There just might be.
Or a T-bone steak. It could be a T-bone steak.
You're big into T-bones.
I like T-bones.
I know. Like, well, because this is not shocking to me. You are as much of a meat eater as I am. You could have steak for dessert. But you tend to prefer New York strip.
I do.
Sometimes ribeye or short rib. I've not heard you. Off the top of my head, I can't ever remember you specifically requesting T-bone, but now that's something you got.
Lately, I've been into T-bone.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, listen, we're in the mecca of T-bone steaks here in the great state of Texas. Do you have any advice from a kid? Because this is something that your father struggles with greatly. And that I eat food that is very healthy for me internally and then also will help me look better. And I exercise a lot and then blah, 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 blah. All these health and fitness things I do. But I have to recognize I have a very special and unique lifestyle in that I kind of control my schedule. I only have one kid who's pretty self-sufficient. My wife is, unless she's on set there and available to kind of pitch in and help out with cooking and making gym time for me and all these things.
Yeah.
I heard you said, you know, you were referencing a parent dealing with their child and having stuff on the plate and things like that. And I got to thinking about how, well, most parents work so darn much and they're so pulled in so many different directions that I always feel a little bit bad about recommending certain things because I go like, that's okay for you, Mike. But that doesn't really make sense to the mother of three who also has a job. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like there's people aren't necessarily afforded the luxuries that I have when it comes to those types of things. So when it comes to being a kid, let's say you had a parent that, is just working nonstop and is picking you up from school and then immediately has to go back, get on the computer and work again. What are some things that like you would advise them to do when it comes to making sure that their child has a healthy lifestyle?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of foods that like you can sneak like an egg in or something. I mean, if you're the parent that does that, I don't blame you. But there's also like kids love pasta. You can throw some like ground beef into the pasta sauce. That's a really healthy alternative. Or you can just, like, make, I don't know, like, some meat in, like, 10 minutes, you know?
And there's also stuff that we, a lot of times, will make in advance. You know, together, like,
If you get an Instapot, Instapot's
ooh,
great.
Instapot's great.
My mom cooks on Wednesdays sometimes, and she makes these amazing meatballs. And you just throw it in the Instapot in the morning. Then you come in at night, pull them out, feed them to your kids, and go do your job again, I guess.
it's good insight. Now, there's so many things that I recognize in you where I say to myself, Magnolia is exactly like me when I was a little kid. But one of the very few things where I look at and I go, wow, she's completely different from me. She's totally her own person. Is that I was crazy active as a little boy, as far as exercise, sports, and stuff like that. You, and I've never pressured you, you have no desire to be involved in sports. You don't want to go from, I was going from sport to sport to sport all day, physical activity all day. And there's two things at play here. One, that's who you are, and I've never tried to force you to be anything different. And B, you kind of lucked out in that you have your mom's genetics.
Yeah.
That you're tall and naturally muscular and lean. And it doesn't really matter if you, you know, like, you kind of just have the healthy looking body. And I wonder, does, at this age already, at 10 years old, do you start to factor those things in? Or are you just like, I'm living my life?
I mean, sometimes I do. I'll think about it, like, do you remember that 1 week I printed out my workouts for the whole week?
And you were cranking it with the kids at school. You became the PE teacher.
I was the TP teacher.
You were the TP teacher?
No.
You needed to teach people how to use toilet paper?
No.
That must have got gross.
No. I was the PE teacher for about like a week, maybe. Yeah. It was about like a week. And it was interesting, but I'm much of a sit in my art room and paint stuff kid rather than a baseball kind of person or something. We do go in our backyard sometimes and play baseball. But I'm just
You're not against getting sweaty and working. Yeah, no. What I meant by that was
prefer to have me time.
Yeah, no, you are. You're an artist. You absolutely are.
Yeah. Me being an only child, I like being alone. I don't really participate in team efforts unless it's something that involves school. But other than that, I'm pretty much in my art room painting something.
Right. And again, I want that for you because that's who you are. And I've never once questioned whether or not I should pressure you into doing certain things because you've always been so open with me. You're like, you have your models that you cut their hair and you have the different designs in your fashion.
Sometimes I decapitate them.
And sometimes you decapitate. Sometimes, and you sew your own clothes, you create your own clothes, you create doll clothes. I mean, you're very artistic and it's always been your thing. And you're like, there's been times when I'll walk up to you and I'll be like, hey, do you want to do, and you're like, I'm good. And you're just sitting by yourself and I go, fine, let that be. My question was more of, and I worry, maybe I'm making mountains out of molehills, but I worry about girls more than little boys in that there is going to come a time where they become very aware of their looks and their body and their, and you know, and I think it becomes, As hard as it is for young boys or young men even, it's infinitely harder the way society looks at them and judges them by the way that they look. And I wonder if at 10 years old that ever comes into your brain, and B, if it's right or wrong for me to even be talking about it with you.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes my mom will, like, come up to me and she'll look at me and she'll say, like, brush your hair, but I don't, because I don't care.
You don't?
The only reason why I would brush my hair is because it hurts.
But no, I was going to say, let me stick up for your mother, because your mom is hands-off, too, and she's a woman, so it's probably even more of an issue for her. The only thing your mom busts your chops about is brushing your hair, and it's not because of the look. It's because it'll get knotted, and then we'll have to cut it, and that would suck. It's a more of a health thing.
I mean, back up there. I mean, like, sometimes she'll come up to me, and she's like, you wore that shirt yesterday. You can't wear it today, or that shirt's gross. You can't wear it.
But okay, in fairness to your mom, isn't she more pointing out something that might be a sanitation issue than a, like, I've never heard your mom be like, that outfit looks terrible, or change that outfit, I don't like the way it looks. She'll say, Mags, you got paint all over the front of your shirt.
I don't care about that.
I know you don't care. That's the point. But I was more sticking up for your mom in that your mom might say, hey, you got to change that outfit. But it's always because You were working on the farm in the outfit and it might smell like donkey poo, or you have paint stains on it or something. You know what I'm saying? It's never because of a aesthetic.
I mean, I was just kind of using her as an example.
Okay.
But paint stains are actually a pride on t-shirts.
Okay.
Excuse me. But like, if I had paint all over my face and we were going to go to the supermarket, like, I wouldn't clean my face. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It just shows that I'm artistic.
Very Jackson Pollock of you. Yes. you wear your lifestyle on your sleeve. Do you think that in your experience, though, have you ever been surprised at kids getting really obsessive about their appearance?
I mean, like, I'll be, like, at the mall with somebody or something, and they'll come to me, and they're like, okay, we gotta, like, go to this store because blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. Then we go, and then she's like, wait, before I go in, I need to fix my hair. But I don't get that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a healthy way of approaching it. I was honestly more trying to get insight from you than to pick your brain about like how you feel about things.
Yeah.
Because it is one thing that I really worry about. And when I found out that you were going to be a girl, it was one of the many things that I don't understand women the way that a woman would, you know, because I'm a guy. Yeah. That was one of the first things that I really started to get worried about, is that I could recognize, as much as a lot of modern women like to bitch and moan. Oop, sorry, modern women like to complain.
I mean, it's your show.
I know, but I also, it's like I like to make it kid friendly, especially with a kid guest. A lot of women nowadays like to make complaints, very vocal complaints about certain things about how society treats women. A lot of it I don't necessarily agree with. One thing that I absolutely do agree with, and I absolutely get worried about, is that society puts, I think, a much greater and a more dangerous emphasis on how women look in comparison to how men look.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that should be a thing. I mean, like, to me, the more people stare at me awkwardly, the better.
You've never spoken more my language than ever. Yeah. Your mother used to get on me so much because I do something on the radio or I do something on TV, and she'd say, "Honey, you look like a fool." I go, "I know. This is my goal."
Yeah. I mean, like, recently I got these insane earrings, and they're my favorites.
Which ones?
Those little ones that are pink, and they've got danglies, and they've got a giant eye in the middle.
They're pretty sweet.
Yeah. They're like alien earrings. I love them. But, like, me and my friends were doing insane things in the mall and stuff. And, like, our parents told us, if you do this, then I'll give you $20 or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, say something in the middle of the mall and stuff like that. And one of them was, gonna be that my friend made up, run around and pretend like your earrings are alive. So we like to do that kind of stuff. That just makes people look at us and stare uncomfortably like this.
Yeah.
So yeah. but I really think with the, like you were saying, society and stuff, like, life really isn't fair, and it's not supposed to be. So the more that you can understand that, I think the better. So I definitely think that could change.
Dang, son. Right there. Mind blowing with the truth bombs. You ever hear what people say? Mic drop? Mic drop?
Boom.
Don't drop these mics. They're not mine.
You drop a mic at home.
You could drop my mic at home.
Record it.
I have really appreciated this conversation. It's been great. Yeah. I'm being sincere. You know how much I love you, and I love that we have these conversations off here, but it really means a lot that you would want to do this and that you're being so open and fun. I have one last question for you.
Okay.
And it's not
a good one.
Okay, I will make it a good one. Be fully honest.
Mm-hmm.
If you could change one thing about me or how I behave, what would it be?
No more Chavila. No.
I won't show you because Giorgio's looking around. And I'll show clips. Giorgio's looking at us like, well, what the hell is that? Just so you can get some insight.
It's a virus.
It's a virus. What if poor Chavila himself hears this, Maggie?
No.
This guy.
Oh, yeah. I've seen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
I agree with you.
He does it to everybody. It's, no. He showed it to my mom, and you can, like, send in names, apparently, and he'll say their name. And he did it to my grandma and to my mom and to my friend's mom.
Bianca.
No. No.
This person needs a life, too.
Yes. I agree with you.
Maybe it's okay.
Okay. So the one thing you would change about me and the way I behave is no more South American viral star.
No more Chavila and more Taste the Biscuit.
Taste the Biscuit's sick.
Taste the biscuit.
Taste the goodness of the biscuit. All right. Taste fair enough.
Honey sauce.
Taste the goodness of the biscuit with the honey sauce. Don't get that honey sauce on me. I don't like the way it tastes with my mac and cheese. All right.
Toasters and moose are the best.
Yeah, toasters and moose. I believe here in Texas. So if you want to collaborate, believe me, I would be more than open to do that. Yes. If you could change one thing about your mother or how she behaves, what would that be? Just to be fair, you know?
Oh, God. I gotta think about that one.
Okay.
Probably. Letting me go as long as I want without cleaning my room and cleaning my room on my own time. Because if she let me, I will clean it.
Is that true?
Yes. It gets, like, I came home yesterday, and I opened my door, and I was like, wow, I left my room like this.
Yeah, because you went on a trip.
And my mom comes in, and she's like, okay, you got to clean your room now. And I'm like, seriously? I just got off a plane. If you let me clean it when I want to clean it.
Wait. Again, I got to stick up for your mom. As your mother's attorney, she said, all right, Maggie, tomorrow, in your art room has to.
The second we got home, we went upstairs, and she looked at me, and she goes, you got to clean this.
Yeah. And is she wrong?
And I looked at her, and I thought, if you just let me do it on my own time, then I would do it better.
But your mother and I don't exactly have a lot of experience with you doing it on your own time, specifically referring to.
That's because she tells me to just do it. Like, the second she realizes it's messy, she's like, go, now. Go do it.
All right. Well, she'll see this. So I'm sure she can take that into consideration and maybe.
Don't you dare yell at me. This is not your place, please.
Wait. Isn't until you're 18, isn't everywhere her place and my place? Kind of technically. No, that's true. This isn't. No, that's true. This is. You're right. This
SOS.
One of the deals. One of the deals we had of you coming on the show was that that you needed to feel free to be yourself and not be burdened by what you think you want me to hear or your mother hear. So you're right. Fair enough. Well, Magnolia, it's been a genuine pleasure talking to you. Honestly,
yeah, I had so much fun.
I love you so much. And you always make me so proud to be your father because I look at you and I think what a amazing human being you've become. And I can't take responsibility for that. A lot of it, some of it, your mom and I can be like, we instilled this and she developed appreciation for fill in the blank because of. But a lot of stuff, it's just how you have ended up dealing with the things that life throws at you. And I'm always so thoroughly impressed by it. And I hope you know that.
Partly Ken, too.
Oh, and Ken, your teacher Ken, too. And thank you to Giorgio. And we need to do more snacky snack time.
Next, we're doing a special dessert, grilled apples.
Grilled apples is our next snacky snack time with Mike and Magnolia. And I am sure, after I post this, I'm going to get a million comments and requests for you to come back on the show. So be prepared for that. Okay. All right. Love you. In this crazy mix-up world that makes you think that nobody cares, remember, I do. Be good.
I care too.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.